You are in the directorate of time. Naturally, you're running late. You hurry past a glass-paned vault in which the world's number one clock is soundlessly assembling each second from 9 billion parts. It looks more like a rack of computers than a clock. In its core, atoms of cesium vibrate with a goose-stepping pace so sure, so authoritative, so humbling, but your mind wanders. There is not a moment to lose. Striding onward, you reach the office of the director of the Directorate of Time. He is a craggy, white-haired man called Gernot M.R. Winkler. He glances across the desk and says, "We have to be fast." The Directorate, an agency of the United States military, has scattered dozens of atomic clocks across a calm, manicured hilltop near the Potomac River in Washington. Armed guards stand watch at a security gatehouse down below, mainly because the vice president's residence occupies the same grounds. Once past their scrutiny, you can walk alone up the long drive to the stately 150-year-old Naval Observatory, the first national observatory of the United States. The master clock consults with 50 others in separate climate-controlled vaults. Cesium clocks and hydrogen masers powered by diesel generators and backup batteries. They check off the seconds as an ensemble and communicate continuously via fiber optic cable with counterparts overseas. The clocks monitor one another. Their output is statistically merged worldwide outside Paris. The American contribution is the largest. The result is the exact time. The exact time, by definition, by worldwide consensus and decree. The timekeepers at the directorate like to quote the old saw. Winkler quotes it now. A man with a watch knows what time it is. A man with two watches is never sure. Humanity is now a species with one watch, and this is it. Through most of history, time was fixed by astronomical reference points. The Earth spins once, call it a day. No more. The absolute reference has shifted from the stars to the atomic beams in their vaults. Particles are steadier than planets. Never mind the uncertainty principle. It's the heavens that cannot be relied on. Stars drift. The Earth shivers ever so slightly. With the oceanic tides acting as brakes, the planet slows in its rotation by fractions of seconds each year. These anomalies do matter in a time-gripped age. To compensate, the official clocks must every so often perform a grudging two-step, adding an odd second, a leap second, to the world's calendar. Most often, leap seconds are inserted at the close of December 31st. Elsewhere, astronomical observatories, television networks, and time-obsessed computer users make an adjustment to catch the leap second. Observatories have been known to get the sign wrong, ruining a night's skywatching with the difference between plus 1 second and minus one. As the Earth continues to slow, leap seconds will grow more common. Eventually, we'll need one every year, and then even more. Scientists could have avoided these awkward skips by choosing instead to adjust the duration of the second itself. Who would notice? That is what they did, in fact, until 1955. They defined the second as 1/86,400th of a real day, however long that was. The second had to lengthen a tiny bit each year. The atomic clocks were retuned as necessary. This didn't trouble most of us, even subliminally. But it did start to annoy atomic physicists because they needed a temporal measuring stick that wouldn't stretch. Come on, a second is a second. Give me a real second. So here is the real second. Here, the technologies of speed reach the ultimate. 50 years ago, Winkler says wistfully, he was a schoolboy in Austria, we made measurements of a tenth of a second from day to day. That was great. Then more and more applications came in with greater refinements. It's like anywhere in life. When you have a capability, people find a use for that. Submarines have to surface for communications. They have atomic clocks, Winkler continues. Television transmitters have atomic clocks. If you have two transmitters on the same channel and you're between two cities, the picture will go up and down unless they are on exactly the same frequency. All good television stations have a rubidium clock.